And we are back here on the Fighters Block. My name is Joe Gilpin, joined as always by Jesse Rivas. How are you doing this week, Jesse?
Doing great. Fantastic, exciting night of boxing. I was a little bit saddened by the fact that we don't have any UFC. We won't have any until a BS card in DC, which kind of doesn't even count as a card. But we had phenomenal boxing to make up for it, so I'm hyped. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. We had some good boxing. A gay man offered me a ticket to go see the UFC, so I guess I'm doing that. Man, I hope he doesn't have any ulterior motives now that I think about it, actually. I found out Fernando's going to ref at that event, so that'll be cool. Man, I think it's, you know, but yeah, MMA is just dead right now. There was some bullshit Bellator card. MVP picked up like a really nice knockout over a bellhop.
Yeah.
And fucking speaking of knockouts, the biggest star in boxing, Deontay Wilder, picked up a huge knockout over Luis Ortiz.
I learned something this weekend. Something I didn't know about Deontay Wilder going into this fight. I go into the bar. They're charging $10 at the door for the fight. And there's a...
That's a lot, right?
Yeah,
that's steep. Yeah.
That's a lot. But there was a disproportionate number of women there to see the Deontay Wilder fight than men.
I believe it.
There was a bunch of, like, there's groups of girls, groups of white women who were just, like, there just because they were going gaga over Deontay Wilder.
Really? I would have thought it would be a lot of, like, black women along the lines of, like, TLC. You know what I mean? Like, high-end, like, I don't need no man. Black women, I thought, would be, like, more of the target demographic for a Deontay Wilder.
It was a bunch of white women who like to belong in the porno series Black.
All right, snow bunnies, I believe they're referring
yes.
to. A lot of snow bunnies in the crowd. Man, I believe it. First of all, he's, you know, the heavyweight champion of the world. He's not a bad-looking guy. He has the great story about, you know, dropping out of college football to go take care of his daughter. He's literally providing for his family with his fists. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I was amazed. Also,
it's a very erotic backstory.
Also, just generic sports fans were there, just people who enjoy sports. Like if you ask them about any other boxer, they're like, I don't know. We're talking about Deontay Wilder. They're like, oh yeah, I've seen him on ESPN. I've seen him on like Fox. I wanted to see him fight because he knocks people out.
And he did exactly that. He picked up a huge knockout win over Luis Ortiz in the seventh round. At the very end of the seventh round. Blisters him with that right hand. Deontay Wilder hits like maybe nobody's ever hit before.
It was said in the podcast last week, and I said this at the bar, he only has to be perfect for 30 seconds.
Did you just say this out loud to anyone who was listening?
Pretty much.
You gotta stop doing that. You're not paid to do that. Like, those people are there to... but it is true. Yeah, he only has to land that one shot. And he found that right hand after losing all six rounds on my scorecard up to that point.
Yeah, once again, Ortiz looked phenomenal. Once again, Ortiz hurt Wilder. Once again, Ortiz gets knocked out. Worse than the first time.
I know. It's so depressing if you're Luis Ortiz because, man, you can't get it. You know what I mean? Just like somewhere in that 12 rounds, he's going to find you.
The story
one big
of
shot.
Luis Ortiz is one that I hope history's kind to him. Because he's a guy who's one of the best in the world. He tried to come to the U.S. He couldn't make it. He finally made it here, I think, in 2009. Then no one would fight him. Then around 2014, his age started to show. He stopped being less active. His speed started slowing down. Some people started giving him a shot. He was still knocking people out. And then the two times he finally gets a title shot, he gets knocked out cold by Deontay Wilder.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. But man, that's part of being the heavyweight world champion. You know what I mean? Is being able to hold up against that kind of power. But nobody holds up against Deontay Wilder's power.
What would have happened if he had fought Klitschko back in like 2010?
Luis Ortiz could have won that fight.
Yeah.
Luis Ortiz could have won that fight. I hope that history's kind to him too, but he's not going to be a world champion as long as he's fighting Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
I think that is an unwinnable matchup. Wilder is an all-time hitter. I love it.
Statistically, 95% knockout ratio, the hardest hitter statistically in the heavyweight division of boxing. It's a lethal weapon.
Yeah, people talk about his lack of technique. Guys, he has as much technique as he needs to have. You know what I mean? It's like he's firing off like a nuke. You know what I mean? The placement can be a little off.
He did say after the fight that he's fighting Tyson Fury. The fight's been signed. The fighters have agreed on it on Super Bowl weekend. But his team also is the management team and the promoters for one, Andy Ruiz, who's defending his title in 2 weeks. And they're betting that he's going to win. So that's why they haven't dotted the I's and crossed the T's with the Tyson Fury fight yet. Because they could in-house have a unification fight in February instead of a linear championship fight in February.
I do think that the Fury fight is the fight they're going to go with. But Deontay Wilder would eat Andy Ruiz up like a fucking tostada. Holy shit, would that go bad for him. I'm sorry, I can see how Andy Ruiz can beat a guy like Anthony Joshua. I do not see how he could beat Deontay Wilder. Where is Wilder in the list right now? Is he the number one heavyweight in the world, or are you going to give that to Tyson Fury?
That's why that fight's so intriguing, because I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know who's number
and
one,
when they
right?
fought, they drew.
It's unbelievable. Man, they really are 1A, 1B, the best in the world, and they're so different. They're so different. But if I had to give it to one, I think that Deontay Wilder's out here in these streets more. You know what I mean? He is taking on tough, tough guys like Luis Ortiz. Whereas who is Tyson Fury taking on? Right? You know, bums and journeymen who nearly beat him on a TKO cut. Should have beaten him on a TKO cut. I think that right now Deontay Wilder is the number one heavyweight on the planet.
I have to go with consistency, and I do agree with that. And the only reason is because Tyson Fury, he's shown instability, and he should have beaten that journeyman who cut him. I felt like maybe he got a little too into like the theatrics, the entrance, the coming to America. And
I swear to God, his career is going to end like not – his career isn't going to end like Tyson. His career is going to end like Owen Hart. Like, one of these entrances is going to go horribly wrong for him one day.
But with that said, no man's been able to beat him.
That is true. Man, that's why I'm saying they're 1A and 1B. And if Tyson Fury ends up winning that rematch, I am not going to be surprised in the slightest.
And he's not scared to make the fight boring. He talks about the Klitschko fight, which for a lot of people, that was their introduction to Tyson Fury. But people who had seen him said that's not his typical style. But he said, I knew that I had to fight that boring style to beat Klitschko. That was what I had to do. So I stayed disciplined regardless like the crowd booing for 12 rounds to win that fight.
He's a boxer, right?
Yeah,
he's
a
boxer's
12
boxer. 12
round do it.
But man, you drop for 2 seconds and Deontay Wilder proved it against Tyson Fury of all people. For all that chin and all that movement, he put his ass on the canvas. Bad. I think if he were to do that again, I think he might get the knockout.
Another reason why I think maybe they might go Andy Ruiz if he wins in 2 weeks is because Wilder and Andy Ruiz are friends. And he even mentioned a couple times that he's glad to see him come out of poverty and like finally be able to provide for his family. And he would like to bless him for that. He would like to give him a payday. And that unification fight would be huge.
It would be huge, but man, I think Wilder wants Fury. I think there's blood in his eyes for that fight. I think this was a lot more of like a survive and advance kind of thing. And this has been a wild, wild year for heavyweights. And we have one more big heavyweight fight to go this year.
Oh, yeah.
It's been an amazing year for heavyweights.
Fantastic. And the undercard was quite boring, though.
Yeah. So I had to watch the Wilder fight this morning because I fell asleep last night watching Leo Santa Cruz fucking stink up the joint. Holy shit, what a bad fight to watch.
Did you ever think you would hear Leo Santa Cruz stink up the joint?
It's unbelievable. It's like if Justin Gaethje just started churning out, like, you know, snoozers. It shouldn't happen. But you brought it up last week, and I think it's 100% true. I think he's cashing out on his run. You know what I mean? I think he's a little disconnected from the savagery that it took for him to get there. He's sleeping in silk sheets, man. Life's different.
Yeah, he had one of the toughest five-year schedules I've ever seen in boxing. The guy used to fight 4 times a year against the best in the world. Many times coming in as underdogs, and people were saying, why is a potential star fighting that guy? And then he'd whoop the guy in 3 rounds, and you're like, oh.
That's why.
Yeah, that's why. But ever since those Frampton fights, you know, they were both great wars. I mean, he split 50-50 with the fight. They never had the third fight. Both men never really looked exactly the same afterwards.
No, it took a lot out of them, right?
Yeah, and the touches that they've had, they both had soft touches afterwards. I mean, we had Frampton lost to Warrington, but besides that, they've been pretty much soft touches ever since.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. those fights were wars. They took a lot out of him, obviously. And we see it, MMA and boxing. You know, sometimes you just, you leave a little bit of yourself in there, and that little bit really matters in your next fight. That's what we're seeing. Because he looked slow. He looked lethargic. He didn't look aggressive at all. Man, he just looked horrible.
And he called out Gervonta Davis.
Which would be a big problem. That's a real cash out, because Gervonta is hungry.
And Gervonta's is big.
Yes, Gervonta's he's a tank for this weight class. I know this is his nickname, but holy fuck is he a big,
he just moved
imposing
up
force.
Because he can't make this weight. And Leo Santa Cruz said he would move up for that fight. He would move up another weight class for that fight. That's a cash out.
That's a cash out, 100%.
Now, what did you think of the fact that Leo Santa Cruz, first fight at 130, just moved up, and they gave him Andrew Cancio's belt? Andrew Cancio was available to fight that night because he fought the same night.
Yeah, it's wild. It doesn't make any sense, but it does end up making sense at the end of the night. We can get into that in a minute. But yeah, it didn't make any sense. Why would they possibly do that? It's not like they're like pals or something. It was a very finger poke of doom situation, right?
Yeah, so what was the name of the kid that Santa Cruz just beat? Doesn't matter. But he also just recently moved up. Like, so they're both people who are 126, who just moved up to 130 and fought for a belt in a weight class they're not really in.
Bad matchmaking.
Yeah.
Bad matchmaking. Whoever the matchmaker is playing a lot of games there.
And it's not even like it was a vacant belt because the champion can't defend it. The champion's fighting that night.
Yeah, he made the weight. Fought a contender that night. It doesn't, it's so bizarre. It's not even like they did one of those things where they're like, this is the super title. You know what I mean? Or like knocking one down to like the gold level status and then the platinum belt.
Because they let Cancio keep the belt as the secondary title.
Did they? Fuck, I missed
so
that. That's so fucked up.
And they chanted all night, Santa Cruz wins his fourth weight class, wins a world title in four different divisions. And it was like, did he though?
Yeah, by beating a guy from one of the other three divisions.
Yeah.
It's total bullshit. But man, let's talk about the Cancio fight.
Andrew Cancio, one of the greatest stories in boxing. He was a jackhammer worker, worked construction, could only box part-time, but always had great showings, eventually gets stopped by Jojo Diaz and retires. Then a big opportunity comes. They ask him, do you want to fight the world champion? He needs a fight. Can you come in? You're a pretty big draw in this part of California. Just come in one last time. He comes in, he trains, and pulls the upset of a lifetime. People said it was a fluke. The rematch happens. Same thing happened. He's on the mat.
Who did he beat again? Do you remember?
He fought Alberto Machado.
Machado, yeah. That's right. That was crazy.
Machado was starching everyone, and then he goes in there against Cancio, and he can't put him away. This is the fight. Okay, you're building up a reputation. Let's give you a big build-up fight. The sympathy's there because they just stole your belt and gave it to a bigger name in Leo Santa Cruz. Now let's beat the guy you've already beaten already. Let's beat Rene Alvarado. And do a big showcase fight in your hometown. Can you do it?
Turns out, no. No way let Rene Alvarado know that that was the plan, because he pulled a big upset and won this rematch.
Rene Alvarado, he got signed to Golden Boy as a big prospect around the time that Chocolatito Gonzalez was a big star. And this was the reason he was the next Nicaraguan star. Well, he came to America 8 losses later. He's about to get cut from Golden Boy. And they said, hey, listen, if you lose one more fight, you're out. So they put him against an undefeated prospect. He pulls an upset. 7 fights later, he earns his way as a mandatory contender against the man who beat him. The first man and only man to stop Rene Alvarado, Andrew Cancio. It's the rematch. They book it on the anniversary, the 45th anniversary of his countryman winning the world title. I just drew a blank. You saw me draw a blank.
I did see you draw a blank. But you get into these, like, trances where you just start giving these, like, book reports on people. And I don't know what to do in the middle of that. I'm just sort of waiting for you. I'm listening pleasantly.
Yes. So, what is the name of the Nicaraguan dude who's a phenomenal beast who fought, remember, the mix the black bottle? And the other, Arguello. So this is the 45th anniversary of Arguello winning the world title and becoming the first Nicaraguan champion. You have Chocolatito Gonzalez there supporting his countryman. Rene Alvarado becomes the second set of twins to hold titles simultaneously in boxing. His brother Felix is the champion in the lower weight class.
Yes. Is this going anywhere, or is it like, Sorry, that's a very disrespectful way of saying that I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say now.
So this is phenomenal. This is a great opportunity for Rene Alvarado. He has a country behind him, and he's in a perfect spot now. You got Leo Santa Cruz here. You have a very busy weight class. You got Herring, who recently just showed he could draw a lot of people in an arena. You also have Miguel Burchelt, who I think is going to basically crush all these up-and-coming stars. But you have that potential matchup. You have a lot of movement here. Frampton. Yeah. It's looking for a fight because he's moving up to this weight class. Gary Russell Jr. is moving up to this weight class. So it's a lot of opportunity. And if you have one of those belts, this is huge.
This is huge. I think that when you look at Alvarado sliding into this weight class, he becomes somebody that a lot of these guys actually might want to fight, some of these bigger names, because you can see how you have paths to victory. He's got all those losses on his record, but he's still super dangerous. You know what I mean?
You know what he is? He's a good technical brawler.
Yeah. He puts pressure on people well, right? With his footwork.
And he uses good reach as well to just stay right outside of your punches, but he's right in front of you.
Yes.
Great combination puncher, and it's underrated power. I would love to see him against Burchell, to be honest. I think that would be a phenomenal war.
I agree. It's got to be such a bad feeling to almost be cut from Golden Boy. Because it's like, Oscar, man, I've seen you, get fucked with strap-ons and stuff at all these parties, and, you're just going to, cut me loose? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. Yeah, continue.
Yeah, Golden Boy, yeah, they don't really have much, man. Besides Canelo, if Canelo ever leaves and Ryan Garcia is to leave, it's going to be tough to...
They'll be dead. They'll be dead in the water. Yeah. And Dana White will be jizzing all over ESPN.
They even tried to do they did that MMA thing where they did Chuck versus Tito 3.
And it fucking got 200 views. It got as many views as a high school wrestling match.
Terrible.
It absolutely bombed. Do we want to talk about Floyd Mayweather coming out of retirement?
Yes.
Yeah, let's get into that. So Floyd Mayweather and Dana White were at a Celtics game together. They put out an Instagram post saying something big's coming. And Floyd put out an Instagram post for himself in his boxing gear saying the retirement's over and returning in 2020. What do you think about this?
I think that this is great for Terrence Crawford. I don't know if you've seen Terrence Crawford beating the drums to get a Mayweather fight.
No, but he's never going to get that fight.
He needs it.
He's never going to get it.
I mean, his big rival, his Pacquiao Mayweather, just got ruined by a car accident. I mean, when everyone saw Errol Spence Jr.'s video of his car crash and the picture.
This is like saying that Mayweather might fight Tyson Fury. There's the equal chance of this happening. It's not going to happen. There's never in a million years is Floyd Mayweather going to fight any contender, anyone with a serious shot at beating him. You have to know this. You have followed Floyd Mayweather. You know who Floyd Mayweather is to the core of him. You know he won't take any of those challenges. The toughest guy we can hope for is another Pacquiao fight.
Would you watch another Pacquiao fight?
Not really. I'm not going to watch any of these. I think that he is probably going to fight fucking Leo Santa Cruz or somebody. You know what I mean? He's going to find the most favorable matchup that he can and execute on it. This is what Floyd has made a career off of. When we talk about how Floyd owns and controls the media, it's happening right now. You know what I mean? How he just trolls everybody. Because he puts out these big, giant promises. And then he always under-delivers. People get mad at him for under-delivering. And he shrugs with the money that he got from over-promising. It's the same thing every time. Why am I... Other people have to see this too.
What if he fights it against Khabib?
There you go. Did you see a fight from Kevin Ioli put out a tweet where he was like, do you think that Floyd Mayweather could beat a top 10 MMA fighter in boxing? And do you think that he could beat a top 10 MMA fighter in MMA? It was like, we just saw this. We lived through this. The answer was no. The answer was he didn't train for the fight. He lost the first four rounds, and then he turned it around and TKO'd him in the seventh. We saw it. Now the other guy's a rapist, and we live in a fucked up world. Kevin Ioli is an idiot. But no, I think that the best we could hope for is another Pacquiao fight. Right?
Yeah.
There's no way he fights a Crawford. Or a Porter or somebody.
You know what? I'm amazed how many people dislike Porter.
That's fucked up, right? He's a great guy.
Anytime you mention to a boxing fan, they always like are like, oh, yeah, man, fuck Sean Porter. I'm like, hey, I know him.
Sean Porter's a nice person.
He's really nice, yeah.
Who's somebody that he could fight? Mikey Garcia. No, literally. Seriously.
They would fight.
I think that's
a big fight, yeah.
I think we might see Mikey Garcia versus Floyd Mayweather. Who's another one that he could actually fight? Ooh. Thurman would beat him. What do you think about Thurman Mayweather fight?
I think Thurman would lose.
No fucking way.
Against Mayweather?
Yes.
Oh, hell no. I don't think he'd beat him.
Mayweather. Now Mayweather. Old ass Mayweather. Mayweather that dropped 4 rounds to McGregor. Plus another 2 years.
But also, we're looking at a Thurman who lost against an old 40-year-old Pacquiao.
Who was on every steroid in the world. They didn't drug test for the fight.
He lost against Josecito Lopez. Well, he got really like close fight against Josecito
Lopez. He had a competitive fight with Josecito Lopez. He'd been off for 2 years. He didn't have any arms for a little while. Arms are important in boxing, Jesse. I think Thurman would win that fight.
I would love to see it, though.
I would like to see it.
I think it's close enough where like it's intriguing.
Maybe this is the fight. Maybe a Thurman-Mayweather fight is an actual, like, thing, isn't it?
That's not hard to make.
No, right? We can make that fight. We should try to get this trending or something. Best idea I've had all day.
But the one guy's been beating the drum, and it's showed up in everywhere in boxing media.
Terrence Crawford is never in a million fucking years. He can beat every drum that he wants. It's never going to happen.
Is it going to hurt his legacy, the fact that he's on top rank that has, like, no welterweights?
Yes, your resume always matters to your legacy.
He's too good.
I agree. I think he's the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world right now. Who's your top Who's your top three? Between Lobachenko, Crawford, Canelo, where are you going? What's the 1, 2, 3? I'll give mine.
Crawford 1,
Canelo 2, Lomachenko 3 is mine.
I feel like Lomachenko's dropped a bit, but it's not his fault. He's been moving up in weight and weight classes that aren't like really popular lately.
He hasn't had any headlines in the same way. Yeah. You know what I mean? The headline is always just, oh, he looked great again. But it's never about like taking on somebody like a Kovalev. You know what I mean? Like that, he jumped up two
like
weight classes.
When he fought Rigondo, it was like, holy shit. Yes. Rigondo. Like that was amazing.
Yes, but I still haven't, listen, I have him at third. I still have him very high on the list.
Yeah.
Who's fourth? Inoue?
Yeah.
Might be Inoue, right?
Well, I would have said maybe Errol Spence.
But don't you take him out now because he's not going to compete for at least a year?
Dude, weird cryptic Instagram messages.
Yeah, let's talk about that shit.
I'm done, I'm finished, and then all these rumors of him quitting. Like, man.
I think he's going to be... I think he's going to be highly compromised. I think everything is kind of coming out to kind of set up like... Yeah, shit's bad. It's a lot worse than I think people originally realized.
Man, I wonder when they're going to, like, crown a new champ. You got to get, man, if Sean Porter doesn't regain a belt.
I hope it's him. Man, that would be amazing. And
he
then
got so close.
Everybody can say, fuck Sean Porter. And be like, he's the fucking champion.
He got so close that last time. Within, if he hadn't gotten dropped, he would have won it.
Yes, 100%. God, he's the man.
Yeah.
Anything else for the week?
No, moving forward, we just talked about 130. We have another guy moving up to 130 as well. We got Oscar Valdez moving up against Andres Gutierrez. Like it's gonna be a fantastic fight. Gutierrez is one of those guys that has been poorly managed. He's 26 years old. He's in his prime right now. He's the WBC silver champion. He's literally at the time period in his career where he should take off if you're a boxer. But early on in his career, when he was way too young to be fighting these guys, they put him in there against a very skilled and talented in his prime, Abner Morris. And he rightfully got his ass whooped. He fought against Christian Mahrez. Christian Mahrez, known for dominating Jorge Arce and being one of the greatest champions of the last 10 years of Mexico experience. And now he's kind of viewed as a gatekeeper, but I think unfairly, just because he got pushed so much early on. And he's fighting against Oscar Valdez, who's moving up, who's had a history of injuries. So it should be very interesting. This is a very good test for Valdez to see how he competes at 130.
It's going to be a super interesting test, but Valdez is a motherfucker to fight. Yes. That dude is all action. I love him. This is it's a good test. Andres is definitely a little bit of a sleeper pick, but I still think that Valdez has so much veteran savvy that you have to like him against a younger guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he's to the point where that age is a negative for him.
He's not old, but it's just he's been through so many, like, wars.
Yeah, he's got miles. He's got like miles. He's like Shogun old. You know what I mean? Like, our Shogun at 29, we were like, man, he's probably close to retirement.
And he's still fighting.
And he's still fighting, and he is still looking older and older and sadder and saggier. He is aging like a porn star.
It always trips me out whenever, like, they do, like, milk porn. It's always, like, some 25-year-old just been hitting it hard, drinking a lot, and it's like, you're not a MILF.
You're not a MILF. You're just 25 and slightly fatter.
With that said, is there anything else for this weekend?
Man, nothing I can think of.
Follow me on social media, Jay Rivas Comedy, Jay Rivas on Facebook.
Follow me on Instagram, Joseph M. Gilpin, and we'll be back next week here on the Fighter's Block.